Blessed Lord's Day morning to everyone. Greetings in the name of our blessed Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And it's my great privilege to be here with you this morning. And since probably this is my only opportunity, let me take also this time to give thanks to the whole congregation, from our senior pastor to our pastor, Reverend Quek, the board of elders, and the session, for the support that you have given to me and my family. Probably some of you do not know that we are staying here in Calvary Pandan Church, and we thank God that we have been here for more than 6 years. I thank the Lord for your support, and indeed you are a part of how we were trained by God to serve Him. And we praise the Lord for your kindness and generosity and hospitality for allowing us to stay here in this place. The topic that is given to me this morning is on Christian employee. And it is taken from Ephesians 6, verses 5 to 8. As Dr. To has mentioned, is there a difference when we label a person Christian, like for this example today, a Christian employee? Is there a difference between a non-Christian employee and a Christian employee? Do we have basis to say, this must be a Christian employee, this must be a Christian worker, this must be a Christian servant? Today's text gives us a command and a description of what it means to be a Christian employee. And we have here a clear description by the Apostle Paul in his epistle to the Ephesians. You have heard how he described the relationship between husband and wives and between children and parents. And now in the text for us to consider this morning is on the relationship between the servants or the slaves with their masters. And we'll be taking only verses 5 to 8 to consider what is a Christian servant, a Christian employee. Paul here started his words with a command, calling on the servants. He says here in verse 5, "Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh." And he's calling here the servants. That the servants in this context are actually the slaves, or were the slaves during Paul's time. And if we consider the slaves during those times, they were the people who were in a state of being completely controlled by someone or something. A slave during Paul's period of time had a sense that they are a property of an owner or a master. He is therefore in a servile condition and performing the service with unquestioning obedience. He owed his master exclusive, absolute obedience. And therefore he is devoted to this person, to this owner, to this master, and disregard his own interests. He is therefore working, earning, not for profit, not for any rewards, but only to give himself wholly to the will of his master or owner. Though the master, on the other hand, they have virtually unlimited power over their slaves. And they can do anything they want, either for good or for unmerciful punishment towards these slaves. So this is the picture of this word servant here that is being mentioned by Paul. And you might say, oh brother, this is not fitting for our topic this morning because we are talking of employees. And we are talking of employees today. They have their own rights. They have their employment rights. They have their labor law. And we have our own obligations. And we have also our own rights and responsibilities, unlike these slaves that is mentioned here by Paul. Well, let us see in how Paul described this call towards the slaves. And he said here, "Slaves, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh." And the word obedient here is a command. It is a command which is given in a continuous manner by which Paul says you must continually obey. This is not an obedience that is dependent on circumstances by which you obey your master when you are given a favor, or you do not obey your master when he is scolding you or he is unkind to you. But he is saying you must obey in all ways, in all circumstances. This is the demand for the slaves to their masters. And Paul considers here that you must obey your masters according to the flesh. And what do we mean here when we say according to the flesh? Now, Paul used this word according to the flesh in different context in some part of his epistles. In the epistles to the Romans, he used this context on according to the flesh when he described concerning the physical body, referring to the Lord Jesus Christ coming to earth after or like or according to the flesh. In another context, he used this in other epistles, using this according to the flesh phrase in understanding that this is referring to our carnal fleshly lusts of our bodies. And so from these two contexts, we can see here that Paul was saying that slaves must obey their masters according to the flesh, those who are physically present in their workplace, not regarding whether they are kind or cruel, whether they are good or bad to them, they must continue to obey. And also here, Paul describes that this phrase refers also to the submission by which they must submit to the master, whether these masters are Christians or non-Christians, whether they are still in their depraved state where they practice their being masters or lord over them using their carnal ways, strict and cruel ways. And so they must continue to submit to their masters. The first one may be considered towards relationship between slaves and masters who are both Christians, by which the slave must still submit to the Christian master in the flesh. This is not to say that because both of them are Christians, then he can just relax and do nothing and do as you wish, because already my master is my brother. And if he will do something and he will continue to do me or to cause me to work hard, maybe I will tell the pastor on Sunday next Lord's Day, I will tell the pastor this is how hard the work was assigned to me by this master. Paul was saying here, even though you are spiritually alive now as children of God, you must still consider yourself as a slave. Do not put yourself as a free man, because you are put there as a slave under this master. And the second one is on the consideration that whether this master is a Christian or a non-Christian, these slaves must continue to obey to their master. Then Paul continued here that this continuous submission, obedience to the master by the slaves, should be with fear and trembling. Now, what is this fear and trembling? This does not mean that Christian slaves, when they are called to serve their masters, they must come to their masters with fear and trembling. And that is a sign. If you are called by your boss and you are trembling before him and say, oh, you are a Christian because you are trembling. Now, this is not the way that is given here by Paul. Paul described here fear and trembling, and he used this phrase also in 2 Corinthians 7:15, where here he described the Corinthian Christians when Titus was sent by Paul to see and to follow up what happened after he sent a very strong rebuke against their sins, against their unruly behavior and their confusion in the church. The Christians in Corinth were found to be with fear and trembling as they received Titus. This is with the context that they are now careful not to offend Paul, not to offend Titus, not to sin against God. They were in fear and trembling, very careful of how they obey and how they subject themselves to these apostles and to these disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, Paul also used this phrase, fear and trembling, in Philippians 2:12, when he said that Christians must work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. And this is not to say that you must work for your salvation, but Paul was saying you must work out, you live out your own salvation with fear and trembling, being with caution and with warning and with careful living out of your testimony that you will not tarnish the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, your Savior. Careful living, trying to give a good testimony and a witness to the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is the way Paul described here in this continuous obedience to masters. Slaves, you must continually obey your masters with fear and trembling, with carefulness, that you don't want to offend, you don't want to sin, you don't want to cause this master to be offended and to stumble because of your life and because of your disobedience. Now, Paul continued here in his description of this continuous obedience when he said that not only that you will continue to obey your masters in the flesh and subject yourselves with fear and trembling, being careful of your life not to cause any stumbling of this master that you have. He also says here that you must give yourselves to these masters in singleness of your heart as unto Christ. Singleness of heart. This defines sincerity. This defines the single purpose and soul desire of the slave to submit himself to the will of this master without his vested interest, without his own personal desire for his own. I obey this master because I want a promotion. I obey this ruler because I want to be transferred to a better place. I obey and say yes always to him because I am expecting for a bonus. I am obeying this master because I want him to be in favor of me because I want to be promoted. This is not the idea of obedience. Obedience here by Paul says you must continually obey your master with fear and trembling and your single-hearted devotion and desire to please Christ and to obey your master without any hidden interest and desire for your own. And Paul wrapped up this verse with this phrase here when he said, you must obey continually your masters in the flesh with fear and trembling, with singleness of heart, but you must do it, remember, as unto Christ. As unto Christ. You will see that this is the first point that Paul wants us to understand. Christian employee are employees who are obedient to their masters, to their employers, to their rulers, to the authorities over them, as unto Christ. And why did Paul use the word Christ? Why did Paul not use Lord, as unto God, or as unto Jesus? or as unto Jehovah. Why he used Christ in here. I believe here Paul wanted to remind the slaves of the word Christ. And we all know what Christ means. We all know that this refers to his being the anointed one, the appointed one, the Messiah, the one who was promised by the Father. When all men have lost hope for any deliverance, when men are destined to die and to be plunged into eternal condemnation in hell because of the sin of our first parents, came the Father who promised and who appointed, my son will come, the Messiah will come, the Son of God will come and save you. And by this reminder, these slaves will remember that they were not only owned by Christ in a single way, but they were owned two times. They were created by God to have a purpose, to have a responsibility, to have a role to do, and yet they fall away, sin against God, and then he said, my son will be sent, and then he will redeem you. This is to remind them. Probably some of them were slaves who were doing wicked and evil things to their masters before. They did squander their properties of the masters, sold some of them, left and stole probably some of the goods of their masters and left their masters. But then because they were slaves, they still have to end up to be sold again in the market of slaves. And then came this master, a Christian master, a master as a believer. And so this wicked slave, this master could have the right and authority to execute this slave who squandered his property. But this master went back, get his treasures enough to redeem and buy back that slave. And when he bought back the slave, he welcomed the slave back into his household as his own. My dear brethren, this is actually the picture of all of us who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. We are twice owned by Christ. We are twice owned by God. And since because we are twice owned by him, how dare we disobey this master that we have? How dare we disobey his commands? And when Paul is saying here that we must obey our masters unto Christ, now he is describing here, oh, I'm just focusing to the slaves now because there is a concern between the slaves and the master. But actually, all these things that I described unto you, obedience to your master, and with fear and trembling, and with singleness of your heart, is a description of every Christian. And that's why we can see here that this is not only referring to the slaves. This is also referring to the Christian employee. This is also referring to the Christian students. Whether you are a Christian worker, a Christian housemaid, a Christian parliament representative, a Christian minister, as a Christian, you must do all these things. Continually obey your master, the authorities over you, and to have them and to submit them with fear and trembling, with the sincerity of your heart, because you are a Christian. This is expected from us. This is what is logical and reasonable for those who are twice owned by Christ. And then Paul said, you not only will say yes, but do nothing. Obedience and saying yes to your bosses or your masters is nothing without your giving your lives to obey and do what the master wants you to do. And so he continued here. That is only not a continual obedience unto your masters as unto Christ. But he is saying here, we must serve and do what the master wants us to do. He said here in verse 6, you must do and serve your masters, not with eye service as men pleasers. What does this eye service mean? This is not a name of an optical shop. This is not a place for optometrist. Eye service here means, and actually it is being translated from a coined words of the word that is that represents slave and the eye, meaning the eye of the slave or a slave's eye. It has been known before during their time that these slaves, the eye of the slaves is figuratively defining or describing those who are active only when their masters are around. And you may notice here in some of your Filipino maids, when the master, when the employer is around, he's hardworking, working hard and do everything she can do, and then after that, when the master is away, watching TV and all these things. And he said here, no, you should not be doing that if you are already a Christian. A Christian should not have this eye service, only careful and watching and doing whenever the master is around. He says here, you must continually serve with diligence. Whether your master is around, whether your employer is around, whether your boss, whether your CEO, whether your teacher, whether your supervisor is around or not, you must continually, diligently do your work. This is the attitude of a Christian. You are described to be a person working in diligence, not only to work hard when somebody is watching you. And then he continued to say, that not only here, that you will be diligently serving, working for your master, but you will be dutifully, with duty-bound desire to serve your master. He says here, but as the servants of Christ, and then Paul here wants the slaves to remind again, you are slaves of Christ. Slaves of Christ. Meaning, you are now described as people who have not your own will. You do not have your own will to do whatever you want. You are under Christ. And therefore, you must do whatever Christ wants you to do. And that's why your being in that employment, in that work, you must do it doing the will of God from the heart. What is this will of God? What is this will of God that Paul is trying to remind the slaves? He's trying to tell them, yes, you are employed, but not because you want to do whatever you want and you desire for your own interest. You are there because God puts you there. And because God puts you there, you must do what He has designed for you and planned for you and purposed for you to do in that place. You must do His will. And what is this will of God? We know that in John 4, 34, when the Lord Jesus Christ met that Samaritan woman, and He was offered by His disciples to eat meat, He said, "My meat is to do the will of Him that sent me." And then later He described, the harvest is plenteous. And so we can see here, as Christians, as followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, this will of God here describes our desire for souls of men. That is the will of God, why He puts us in wherever place we are working, we are serving, to do His will. Because that is His command to all of us. Even as He described in Matthew 6, and I will read to you Matthew chapter 6, when He described to His disciples what it means to be a Christian, what it means to be a Christian employee, a Christian student, a Christian housemaid, a Christian worker, a Christian parliament representative. Here Paul said in verse 19 of Matthew chapter 6, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth where moth and rust doth corrupt and where thieves break through and steal. It is not for the will of God, the purpose of God, the plan of God for you to be in that company, in that workplace, in that industry, in that household, for you just to accumulate money, wealth that will be destroyed by moth or rust. And the Lord Jesus Christ himself said, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. What is this treasure in heaven? What is this treasure in heaven that we must lay up? Is it houses? Is it cars? Is it millions of dollars? I was told by the students in SMU, as we have FCM Bible studies. He said one of the professors told them, here in SMU, we are not talking of dollars and cents. We are talking of thousands and millions. Is that what is in our heart? Is that what is the desire for us, why we are in this industry, in this business, in this workplace, in this household that we are in? Paul said we must do the will of God, and the will of God is for us to lay treasures that are heaven bound. And the Lord Jesus Christ described a treasure that is far greater than any treasure in this world. And he described it in Mark 8:36. And in Mark 8:36, the Lord Jesus Christ said, for what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Here we can see the value of one soul. It is far greater than the millions and billions and trillions of dollars all over this world. Even if we sum up all the treasures and all the things in this world, there is nothing that is equivalent even to one soul. You will not gain any profit. You will not gain anything if you compare even the whole treasures of this world to one soul. And this is what is the will of God in our lives. We are put in a certain company. We are put in a household. We are put in a workplace. We are put in this industry, in this company, in this school, in this university, in this institute, because God wants us to do his will, and that is to lay up treasure that is far greater than any other treasure here on earth, and that is even one soul. And if you have one soul, that is a treasure far more than what we can gain in this world. We must do the will of God. That is what Paul says here in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 6. Now he continued when he said here in verse 7, with goodwill doing service as to the Lord and not to men. And he says here, now, as you are serving conscientiously to God, you must have this goodwill doing service with affection, with the desire, with love, with the desire to please the Lord, to please God. The second point that we have, yes, we must obey, continually obey as unto Christ, but we must also conscientiously serve as unto the Lord. Now, why did Paul here did not use the name Christ again? Why did he use Lord when he wrote verse 7? Paul wanted to remind us and the slaves during this time that we must serve to him who is the all-powerful, all sovereign in control, who is in control of everything in this world. We must serve with the idea that this God, this Lord whom we are serving, is omnipresent, omnipotent, omniscient. We cannot hide ourselves from the Lord. We cannot hide ourselves and even do something in the dark. He knows everything. And therefore, when we serve, we must serve with the understanding that I am doing this for my Lord. And when I do this for my Lord, I know He is watching me 24 hours a day. He is there. Wherever I go, even if I will be assigned in a far place, in a foreign country, or I will be alone as a student in the foreign place, I will still do what is being given to me from my boss, from my parents, because I know the Lord sees me. And this is the service that He wants men to offer unto their masters and even unto those who are in authority over us all. So Paul here reminds us, yes, we will obey as unto Christ, we will serve as unto the Lord. Why? Because here in verse 8, he says, knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. Because whatever we do, whether we carry favor to our bosses, whether we are so good and kind to our masters, or whatever we do to our rulers or to our employers, eventually the blessings that will come into our lives is from the Lord. It's from the Lord. And the ultimate and the main focus here Paul wanted us to understand is that every Christian employee, the ultimate and the final and the only genuine, truly employer of every Christian employee is the Lord God Himself. This is what Paul wanted us to understand here. Every Christian employee, you must understand, and we must understand, that our ultimate, final, our true, genuine employer is God Himself. He's the one who puts us there in that company. He's the one who puts us there in that industry. It's not because we graduated from a top school, from Ivy League University, from the United States. That's why we are hired in this bank. It's not because you are smart. It's not because you finish with high honors that you are admitted into this company. It is because God puts you there. And whether He puts you in that lower company, whether He puts you in a certain not so popular workplace, God puts you there. He is your employer. He is our employer. And it's because He is the one who puts us there, He is the one whom we should please. And He is the one whom we should give honor. And He should be the one who is the master of everything that we will do. And whatever He wants us to do must be accorded and be based on what He wants us to do according to His word. It is not because this company wants me to be like this. It is not because this company wants me to do like this. It is because God wants me to do this way. He is my employer. And that's why we are not afraid whether you will be sacked, you will be replaced, or you will be entrenched, because it is God who puts you there. And whatever your bosses, whatever your employers, whatever your CEO will want you to do to kick you out, he cannot do anything unless God will take you out from that place, because He is the one who appointed you to be there. And that's why we must not compromise. We must not compromise with our witness and testimony for the Lord Jesus Christ, because we just want to save our position, our being in that company. This is a very, you know, I have been with this company and I received so much, so I don't want to leave this company. So I don't want to offend my bosses when they want me to do something that is even against the word of God. I don't want to do it because I just compromise because I want to keep my post. Our employer is God Himself. And He is the omnipotent God. He is God who is in control. He is God who is sovereign over all. And when He puts you there, remember, you are not there because of who you are, because of what you have finished, what degree you have. It is because God puts you there, and you have a mission, you have a purpose, you have a reason. God puts you there to lay up treasures which you can bring to heaven. And that treasure is a soul which is far greater than any riches in this world. Nothing can be compared to a soul that is won in Christ. And if you have even one soul whom you have won to Christ because of your testimony, because of your witness, you are far richer than any billionaire in this world. And that riches that you have will never perish, because in eternity that soul will be with you forever in heaven. My dear brethren, our employer is God Himself. Let us do what He wants us to do. In whatever place that we are assigned, let us please Him. For those who are still outside of the kingdom of God, you cannot understand this. You may ask, you may question why. But please, be reminded that you, your soul is also important in the Lord. And if you are here this morning without the Lord Jesus Christ, you must know that you have no other place to go after you die. You will plunge your soul into hell earlier than the caretaker will come to your place. Receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Be an employer, be an employee of the Lord Jesus Christ. And do and gather riches which is far greater than what this world can offer. Let us pray. Our most gracious and loving Father, how we thank Thee, Lord, for this word that Thou hast given to us through the Apostle Paul. We pray, Father, that may our hearts will be moved to recognize indeed, O Lord, that Thou art our employer. Thou art the one who put us wherever we are, whether we are students, employees, whatever work that we are in. We pray, Father, that may You help us to understand these things, and that we may be able to do Thy will, to win souls for Thee, for this is far greater than any riches that this world can offer. We give You thanks and praise for all these things. In the mighty name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.